Welcome to Nourish and Shine, where I talk with passionate leaders in the fields of nutrition, functional and integrative medicine, and wellness, providing inspiration and practical advice to nourish your mind, body, and spirit, optimize your health, and live a whole vibrant life starting now. Welcome back to another week of Nourish and Shine. I am so grateful that you're joining me. This week, I'm talking with Sarah Stinson again. She is absolutely amazing. Last week, we talked about resilience, and if you missed it, I highly suggest going back and listening. She gave a couple practical examples that you can just start practicing right away that will really make a difference in your daily life. This week, we go into Healing Touch. She is a Healing Touch practitioner. She's also an eating disorders therapist, and she recently completed a fellowship in integrative health and medicine. She is a personal friend and such a beautiful soul, amazing woman, and just a joy to be around. So I really hope you enjoy this episode. We're going to dive into what Healing Touch is, how it's practiced, how she learned about it, and kind of what a treatment looks like for patients. Also, how it compares to other forms of energy medicine. If you haven't already, check out Sarah's bio in the show notes. Welcome back to Nourish and Shine. Sarah Stinson. Thank you so much for being with me for part two of this interview. And today we're going to talk about Healing Touch. And I'd love for you to start off just by telling our listeners, what exactly is Healing Touch?
Well, thank you, Amy, for having me back. And I'm looking forward to this discussion. So I'm actually going to read you the definition by Healing Beyond Borders, which is out of Lakewood, Colorado, just because I think it's so rich and full that I don't want to miss any part of it. So Healing Touch is a relaxing, nurturing, heart-centered biofield energy therapy. Gentle, intentional touch assists in balancing the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being. Healing Touch assists in creating a coherent and balanced energy field, supporting one's inherent ability to heal. It is safe for all ages and works in harmony with and may be integrated with standard medical care. And I think there's so many things in that to me are so deep. So one of the things that drew me to Healing Touch was that idea that it's heart-centered. So really being in the presence of the person you're working with during the treatment and really having that energy and that focus come from your heart. And I also think it's a valuable statement because it talks about supporting our own inherent ability to heal. So as a Healing Touch practitioner, it's not me doing the healing. I am helping that person that I'm working with to bring their body, mind, and spirit into its own balance with support.
That's amazing. Absolutely. And how did you get into Healing Touch?
Well, so that's an interesting story. So I'm going to go a few years back. Originally, ironically, I was pre-med in the 1990s before I went and changed my major to psychology. And I think my interest was just really looking at how amazing our body is and how it can heal. And I really didn't have a lot of illnesses growing up. In fact, I didn't get the chicken pox until I was in college, and they thought it was a German measles instead of the chicken pox. But I think what that did was it triggered a curiosity in me and how the body works and how the mind and body work together. And so through my journey, I was then led to massage therapy in the late 1990s. And so I got my master's in counseling, as I said earlier, and then I did the massage therapy. And again, it was that connection of looking at how doing massage therapy helped people with eating disorders actually to have a better body image because it decreased the cortisol levels. And so then I finished my massage therapy training, and then I took Qigong, and I took Reiki, and then I had a wonderful employer that in 2008 asked me to get trained in Healing Touch because they found that many of the hospitals nearby were using it. And my interest in energy medicine came in the late 1990s when I had a back injury. I was somebody that always was in a hurry because there's just not enough time to do all the wonderful things I wanted to do in my day. And so I was running late to get to work, and I had these big palazzo pants on, and I was going down my apartment steps, and I caught my foot in my pants, and I immediately knew that I hurt my back. And I had herniated my back a few years prior, and I could tell it was the same pain. And ironically, prior to that, I was actually going to go to physical therapy because I just could feel that things weren't right in my back. And so I drove my stick shift car to the hospital I worked at that time, and I got out of the car, and I was in so much pain that I thought I was going to pass out. So I got to the first office. They called the emergency room, and then they brought me there, put me on a lot of pain meds so that I could go home. And then, of course, you can't get into the doctor for a few days and then into PT. But during that journey with that herniated disc, I was introduced to an amazing woman that said, "Hey, can I just try some of this energy work on you?" And I'm like, "Do I have to be a believer?" And she's like, "Nope." And I'm like, "Okay." So at that time, my mind was very scientific based. So I was very concrete. Like, if I could see it, I could believe it. If I couldn't see it, I was a little more skeptical. So I was a little skeptical about what she was going to do. And we were at a therapist retreat. And so she said, "Well, just stand up." And at this point, my back was injured and I did have a herniated disc between S1, I think L5 and L4, and it affected my S1 nerve. So I had already had nerve damage. So I didn't feel things on the S1 nerve down to my little toe. So it made standing on my toes hard. So when I would try to stand on my toes, my feet would collapse. So she did this hold where she put her hand on my back, my sacrum area, and the other one on the front of my belly. And she held it for about 5 minutes, and it was like the most amazing heat I'd ever felt in my life. Like, I felt like she had two heating pads that were like at 100 degrees each, and I didn't notice much else. And so the next day, for whatever reason, I was in the shower and I thought, let me just try standing on my toes. And sure enough, I could stand on my toes for 5 seconds. And in the course of that recovery journey, I met with her 5 times, and she did a technique called SHEN, which stood for Specific Human Energy Nexus, and was created by an aeronautics engineer. And I was able to avoid surgery, because at that point we were just trying to collect my PTO because I didn't have a lot of vacation time. I like to travel and I used it well. So I was waiting until I had enough so I could have surgery. And because of those 5 treatments and understanding how the energy works and continuing my own practice, I never had to have surgery. And to this day, the only time my back hurts is if I wear heels or I don't walk every day or stretch. So that opened that door to that idea that there's something to this. And so I think then when I was asked to get certified in healing touch, to me, that was the biggest gift I could have ever been given. And so I'm very grateful for it.
Oh my gosh. And so had you, after like experiencing this treatment, had you then looked into it and like wanted to do it, or did your employer just kind of come out of the blue asking?
So interestingly enough, I injured my back, I think in 1996, so I think it was 29, 30. And during that recovery, I actually was in a wheelchair for a day or two, and I had a cane for months and I just wasn't healing. And so the kind of energy work she did, she was just practicing. Literally, she was just practicing on me. She had read something that sounded interesting. And I liked that technique, but that just didn't resonate with me. And so then I tried the Qigong and the Reiki, and then I continued getting treatments from a Qigong practitioner that was local. And then when they asked about the healing touch, I didn't know actually anything about it. So it was a beautiful combination of synchronicities that led me to that and opening some other doors in my work. So yeah, no, I didn't know anything about it. And I was very grateful. And it was what, almost 20 years, 10 years after I'd hurt my back.
Oh my word. So you brought up a couple different terms. So Reiki and Qigong and healing touch. Can you kind of talk about the nuances between each form of energy medicine?
Sure. So I want to say that I believe all energy medicine works, and they are all extremely effective. And there was a quote in the beginning of the Foundations of the Healing Touch book that I teach from, and it says, "In every culture and in every medical tradition before ours, healing was accomplished by moving energy." And it's by a gentleman whose name I can't pronounce, and I went online to try to get his name on the, they, you know, do they play it for you, Otis? But it's Albert, and it's SZENT-GYORGI. And so the point in sharing that is that with Qigong and Reiki, they're just come from different origins. So Qigong is spelled Q-I-G-O-N-G, and Qi is like movement, and Gong is energy. So movement of energy, you're moving energy, and it's generally practiced from the Chinese background, I guess, is what I want to say, Chinese culture. And if you watched the Olympics years ago, you would see them tapping on their arms and cupping, and that's part of Qigong. And that was just something we were able to take in our local community because we have an amazing Qigong practitioner. So that's how I came to Qigong. And then I also studied with Master Chuni Lin, who's from Minnesota, and created Spring Forest Qigong because he wants everybody to be able to do it. So he simplified some of the traditional techniques of Qigong, and amazing man. So you can look him up too. And then Reiki comes from Japanese culture. And so again, the idea of universal energy that we are facilitating for the healing of all people. So all three of them would have the focus that we are the conduits of the helping people come to their own healing process and facilitating the universal energy that's out there.
I love that. And that's a nice way to describe it, that it's all really kind of the same purpose, just a different like method.
Exactly. And then Healing Touch was, you know, originally created by Janet Mangan in the 1980s out of Colorado. And what she did was she interviewed and researched many different energy practitioners all over the world and just brought together different techniques and combinations of techniques and some of her own techniques, and was able to create a curriculum around that that then was approved by the American Holistic Nurses Association. So it was a nursing intervention that actually they can get CE credits for. And now the title Healing Beyond Borders is just that idea that any of us can do it. We don't have to come from a medical background. We don't have to come from a certain country. We don't even have to be a certain age. We can all do Healing Touch.
Oh, that's awesome. I was going to ask you about Healing Beyond Borders. And is that part of the Holistic Nursing Association? Is it under their umbrella or is it totally a different organization?
It's a totally different organization. So it's its own nonprofit, and it's an amazing organization. And they do education on Healing Touch and certification on Healing Touch. So again, they're out of Lakewood, Colorado, and they have a wonderful book that I think you'll give a reference to called The Foundations of Healing Touch that really gives a history of energy medicine and all kinds of energy medicine, and then how the body can heal with it and the science behind it. And there's a lot of evidence-based research for using Healing Touch with specific populations. And so I think, and they have a website, it's healingbeyondborders.org, and that will give you a lot of different links to different research articles, and then also how to get classes and the history of it and what it's used for. I am very fortunate that I am able to use it in my current job. And I think the value in a medical setting is that it's really good at decreasing anxiety, nausea, and pain, which are the top three conditions that people use pharmaceuticals for generally in a medical setting. So it's, you know, there's no contraindications to using Healing Touch. You're fully clothed. The practitioner will either do hands-on or hands-off the body, depending on the comfort of the client. And people, ultimately, every person, whether a skeptic or not, generally will say they're relaxed after the first treatment and they notice some difference.
Awesome. And can you walk us through what a treatment looks like, or what does it involve?
Yeah. So the beautiful thing about Healing Touch is you can do it. Like, so if I was visiting you in your beautiful garden in your backyard and you got stung by a bee or bit by a mosquito, there's a technique called beak fingers that I could do over where the bite is. And then another technique called field repatterning that would take me a minute or two and I could help decrease the swelling and the pain. Most likely. One of the skills is you have to release the outcome. You know, we just do everything in the highest good of the person we're working with. Generally speaking, I would hope it's in your highest good that you don't itch and have pain, but we don't always know. And so in those kinds of situations, you don't have to do anything formal. You just ask the person what's going on and you get centered mm-hmm. within yourself as a practitioner. And that can be just taking a breath. And then you attune to the person you're going to work with, where you kind of think with that person, and then you set the intention for healing for their highest good. Now, if they're a client that comes to me, generally that's a little longer, and the actual session is about an hour, and the time on the table might be 45 minutes. So say you would call me up and said, Sarah, I just had knee surgery, and I would like to heal the swelling and the scarring from that and the pain. Then you would come in, I would interview you, we'd set goals as to what you wanted to achieve during that session. You'd be fully clothed again. If you were able to, you'd get on a massage table and lie down comfortably on there. And I could put a sheet or a blanket over you. Otherwise, we generally don't do that. And then I would assess your energy field, which again, all of us have energy fields. They expand anywhere from 2 to 12 inches from our physical body. And they can be measured with scientific instruments that show that. Some people are skilled enough to be able to see it, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. So then after I assessed it and I listened to what you would tell me you wanted me to work on, then I would set a treatment plan for that day to address those specific goals. So we would work together as to what you wanted the outcomes to be. And then I would do those techniques. And then at the end, I would reassess the field and ask you how you're feeling and if you noticed any changes. And then I may or may not give you techniques you can do on yourself to practice in between sessions.
Awesome. And as far as like tools go, I know you talk about different techniques. Are the tools primarily your hands and then the techniques are kind of various things you're doing, or do you use any other tools in a treatment?
Well, that's a great question. Okay. So I think the biggest tool that you're using is that presence. So that presence of being fully present with that person and really setting that intention for their highest good. So that heart-centered, that's your first tool, is yourself and your intention. There's a tool called a pendulum, which is just something, you know, it can be a stone, it can be a piece of wood that hangs from a little chain, and you can measure it over the main energy chakras. So there's 7 main energy chakras that Healing Touch uses to assess the field, and then the minor chakras are the joints. And then you can use that in the different direction would give you information about whether it was balanced in that energy center or not. And then you can also use your hands to feel if you feel like heat or cold or congestion or some kind of resistance or different, you know, experiences over the body, and that gives you information. And again, simply put, we want to bring the body into balance to energize and connect all of the chakras or the energy centers. And so what I'm doing and the information I'm getting from that tool is just whether the body's imbalanced or balanced. It's not good or bad. So often when you're doing it, people say, okay, is that bad? When I tell them what I pick up, I'm like, no, it's just information for me. So like a doctor would use a stethoscope or a blood pressure cuff to measure information, we would use our hands and the pendulum and the person's self-report to get information as to what is the best form of treatment. So those would be the main things. Otherwise, you don't need anything. I could do it in the middle of a war zone. I could do it in my backyard with somebody. I could do it anywhere. That's the beauty of Healing Touch, is you don't need a certain space or certain tools necessarily to do it other than yourself. And the person does not have to believe in it, again, for it to work.
That's awesome. And who's your typical client, or do you have a typical client, I guess?
I don't. I think originally my typical client was actually 75 and older, because they did an article about me a long time ago and how I used energy, you know, work for my back. And so a lot of people had back issues. So I first got a lot of people's back issues. As part of the certification, you have to work with 100 different documented sessions and at least 15 different people. And so in the course of working with people, I've done a lot of work with people with cancer, anxiety, sleep issues, recovery from orthopedic surgeries, people just that want it for well-being with different transitions in their life. Let's see what else. And then people that are just curious and want to try it. I have worked with people with back pain and headaches and just overall like arthritis. So, you know, kind of chronic health issues. I've done all ages. So I've done babies to people in their 80s.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my 90s, actually. So I guess from age a few days to people in their 90s. So the whole gamut.
That's amazing.
And I think it's interesting. So could I do a little exercise with you real quick to explain the energy?
Yeah.
So again, for those of people driving, just remember to try this when you get home. When I do presentations face-to-face, then it's a little easier to do one exercise where I use a chick that chirps, but just to help people feel energy, if you could just rub your hands together. And again, when you're hydrated, it helps us to conduct energy better. But if you rub your hands together, and I will have to ask you to answer a question with this one so that the audience knows, then yeah. Just take your hands slowly apart a few inches and move them back and forth and just tell me if you feel anything.
Yeah.
Okay, how would you describe what you feel?
I feel like tingling.
Tingling, yep. So people will describe tingling, heat, magnetic pull or push, and that's just the energy. And so the skeptics will say, well, you had friction and you created energy. And they're right. And that's what we're doing, is we're trying to, it just allows us to increase our sensitivity to feel the energy around us. And then another really fun exercise, especially now that it's getting nicer out, is if you sit in your backyard when it's there's not a full moon or a bright moon and it's dark out and you look at the trees in your backyard, if you get a very soft gaze, almost as if your eyes are closed or kind of like you're going to cross your eyes, and you look at the trees, most likely you'll be able to see their aura or their energy field. It's almost like a vapor around them. And so it's similar to when you look at oil or gas on the concrete and you see that vapor coming up. That's, I don't know how else to describe it. And so you can see that energy around them. And so that's a great way to practice starting to see energy. I don't often see a lot of energy, but when I saw the Dalai Lama speak and then one other person that I saw speak, they were against dark background, and I could see the energy of their field when they were talking about things that they were very passionate about. It would just light up. So for me, it was just kind of a white color. So we all have that. And so it's really kind of fun to start experimenting with seeing energy. And some people see it in colors. Many people do.
That's amazing. And I think it's really neat to start opening up your perception, because like you kind of said, everyone has the potential to feel and see energy, but oftentimes it's not our focus or not something we're even like perceptive of. I was just going to say, to start learning about it and how to perceive it is really neat, but go ahead.
It is, and I think kids and teenagers are way open to it. So like in my psychotherapy practice, I found with eating disorders that they're very sensitive to energy. And again, I think they're more empathic. So they have this ability to feel everything around them, but they don't always understand it. And I feel like the eating disorder is their way to cope with kind of all that chaos around them and not understanding what is happening and why they're reacting so much to things. And so when I can teach them like how to use their mind to move a pendulum in a certain direction, or how to ground themselves, or how to understand that when they're in a certain distance from people, they might feel sadness or happiness or something that isn't their own feeling, and how to really separate that. So like HeartMath is a wonderful organization out of California, and they've done research on the heart. So showing that the heart starts beating before the brain is fully formed, and that many of our emotions come out of the heart. So they have instruments that have accurately measured your energy field from your heart 3 to 4 feet for sure. And there's some research that shows that it's extended 8 to 10 feet. So the reason I think this is so important is that if I'm coming into a setting, whether I'm doing healing touch or I'm doing a presentation or I'm working with a client or I'm just coming into my office or my home, if I'm in a place where I'm stressed or anxious or angry or negative, anybody within 3 to 4 feet of me is going to pick up on that, even if they're not sure what they're picking up on. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that idea that really, and I can teach you a quick technique with this too, just really getting into our heart and checking that before, you know, it's like doing the gratitudes that we can do, or I wish you well, or heart breathing, can help us get into that place of peace and joy and appreciation, so that that has a domino effect of everybody around us. So again, with healing touch, that's why we really focus on that heart-centered presence when we do the work.
That's awesome. I love that.
But kids are fun to watch, because kids will feel things like, and I had this little chick and it chirps. You put your fingers on the bottom and they come out at Easter time. And what you can do though, is you can get a circle of people. I've done it to up to 60 people, and you hold hands, and then two people, one has their finger on one foot and the other finger has their finger on the other foot, and everybody else, we're all holding hands, and then it chirps. But if you let go of that connection with anybody, then it stops chirping. And it shows that we are creating and connecting a circuit through all of us that then goes to that battery and creates that chirping, because it's connecting with the battery through our bodies.
I love that example. And I was just at a Reiki workshop a couple weeks ago, and we did the exact same thing, and it was so neat. And that's, we even would touch people's hair and it doesn't work, right? Because it's not connected.
Correct. So hair is dead and your fingernails are dead, but your teeth it will work with, because your teeth are living.
Really? Oh my gosh.
So if you know somebody well enough, if depending on the group, I'll have somebody touch somebody's tooth. And energy will conduct through metal. So like if you touch a metal band, it will go through that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really cool example.
Yeah, so I think you're right. Just playing with energy is so amazing. And again, it's free. It's out there. It's been around for centuries. There's science to back it up. So
And there's so much healing potential there. Like you mentioned, I mean, I think we take for granted the effect that energy has on the human body.
And so what's so cool is oftentimes people will come in for a physical ailment. And again, if you remember the definition I read, healing touch actually works on the mental, the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual. So oftentimes they'll start saying, oh, wow, I didn't realize that, you know, I had some spiritual issues that this is helping with, or it's helping me with my thoughts. And the other thing is the energy will go to what needs to be worked on first. So even though somebody may come in saying that they have a certain pain, the example that comes to mind is I had a client that was a smoker and I didn't even know they were smoking. And then all of a sudden the third session, I'm like, so do you smoke? And they're like, yeah. And you go, and she said, and the amazing thing is ever since I started doing these sessions with you, I don't want to smoke anymore. And so the pain wasn't going away as much as we wanted to, but she had decreased her smoking without us even intending for that to be a result.
Oh, wow. That's really neat.
Yeah. And then I had a friend that had multiple myeloma and we were traveling. We were doing a road trip to go to Discovery Cove in Florida. And she had put some essential oils on her belly for indigestion. And if you know anything about essential oils, less is more. And we did the more is less approach that day because she was in so much pain and she had put fennel and peppermint and it started burning. And you're supposed to put milk on that to help. And we couldn't get access to it. So there's a great technique called modified mesmeric clearing. And so I did that for her because we were really thinking we might have to bring her to an emergency room. And again, I'd probably, you know, I'd recommend medical attention if needed. But in this case, we knew her well enough and she was actually on hospice. So I did the technique and within 15 minutes, she was calm and it wasn't burning anymore and she felt much better.
Oh, wow. How cool. Yeah. So you mentioned when you walk into a room, sometimes you can feel people's energy. Do you have any techniques for kind of dealing with that or kind of how do you keep others' energy from affecting you potentially?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. And so, you know, I think a perfect example is the holidays can be really stressful for families at times. Or, you know, like if you're going into a medical organization where you know people are really sick or there might be a meeting that you're going to that's really stressful or even with your kids, you know. So what I have people do is before they enter it, like, so we always have a moment, whether we're in the car, we're in our office, or we're walking, to take a moment and just take that deep breath in and out. And then also just visualize grounding, whatever works for you. So one simple technique is people will envision grounding where they put their feet on the ground with tree roots coming out and just allowing that energy to flow up and down, but helping you to feel stable and secure. And then what I do is I always go to my heart and I always try to send that I wish you well or that intent of gratitude and appreciation to each person that I'm going to come in contact with. And so by just setting my intention and grounding myself and then walking into the area, it tends to be better. If I actually know the people that I'm going to run into that I know are going to be stressful or it might be hard, I just do the I wish you well that we talked about in the first podcast. And if people didn't listen to that, it's just a technique to help with kindness. And so I will see each person's face in my mind, or I'll see their name if it's on a list of people attending a meeting, and I'll say a silent I wish you well. And that's my way of helping me not to take it on. There are various techniques like in Qigong where you just say, this is my body, that's your body, and you put your index finger and your thumb together, and that helps you not to take on any energy. So kind of like the okay symbol. And so it depends on the person's sensitivity to the situation they're going into. The other thing is if you know it's a big situation and you need to get prepared, making sure that you're hydrated, that you're well fed, that you've had any contact with nature can help us get grounded. And again, any kind of envisioning the best outcome for the situation is the way I do it. There is another technique where you can actually envision a beautiful, whatever color you want, pink bubble around you. And protecting you so that any energy that you're coming into contact with that you might not feel is resonating or helping you, it goes back into the universe or back, you know, send it with love and light, but nothing comes through that bubble into your energy field. So those are various.
Those are great. I love those techniques.
Again, I think it all goes back to what we talked about in that first podcast is we really just need to slow down. If we can take even just a moment to breathe and get into ourselves and visualize that beautiful heart energy, I think that naturally is going to shift So not only are you not going to take on what you're walking into, you're also going to extend that love and light to the people around you.
And I think that brings up a really good point, because sometimes we forget that not only do we feel other people's energy, but they're feeling our energy. So even if they're not emitting the happiest energy or best energy, if we come in with good energy, warm energy, loving energy, hopefully some of that transfers as well and changes kind of the whole feel.
It does. And so they say that you're going to vibrate to that higher frequency. So what I like to do is talk about low frequency or high frequency, or, you know, energy that's too much or too little. And then that can shift us from that kind of that good and bad, even though I know people will use that, or negative and positive. It just helps me to know. And again, like that self-compassion, we are human. So there are going to be days where we want to be that best self and we're not. And that's okay. The world isn't going to end because of that. And people are resilient, so they're going to bounce back, even if I say something that wasn't the kindest thing that I meant to say.
Yeah. And can you explain that a little more? I love that you talk about high energy versus low energy and how you come to.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So when you think of like, so every color has a frequency. Every note has a frequency. And in healing touch, we learn about that when we talk about the auras, and we do a whole section on energy. And like even flowers. So when you think about what emotion vibrates at the highest frequency, what emotion do you think it is?
Happiness.
It's actually love. But love. That makes you happy. Yeah. So love. So think of at Valentine's Day, we give roses. Roses actually for flowers vibrate at a higher frequency. So isn't it interesting that we did that? Or when we look at the chakras and which one corresponds to relationships, it's like the sacral chakra. And that resonates with the note D. And when we go to weddings, what do? They play canon and D. So you start seeing all these connections between vibration, emotion, even foods, colors, essential oils, and gems. So when we look at the chakras to balance them, we can also use these other things to work with them at the frequencies that they vibrate at. So again, when we're around people, the idea is hopefully that our frequency goes up to the higher frequency. Sometimes though, if you're around somebody with a very low frequency for a long period of time, our frequency can go down. So just that sense of happiness, joy, love, appreciation can go to fear, sadness.
That makes a lot of sense. And you touched on something which I feel like could be a whole nother podcast in itself, but
yeah,
like gems and essential oils and all of that. Can you briefly go into the use of that, or where people could maybe learn more about that?
Yeah, well, sure. I'm trying to find my card, which is over on my bookshelf right now. You could just Google, like the Crystal Bible talks about it. You could look at energy of gems or energy of essential oils. So the card that I'm thinking of, I got on Amazon, and it has all the chakras and then the colors and the notes and the gems and the foods. And it actually even gives you statements that you can say that would allow you to energize that specific chakra. Does that make sense? Let me just see if I can grab it quick.
Yeah.
I found it. Okay. It's called the Chakra Tune-Up Chart.
All right.
And so for instance, interestingly enough, my energy journey has been a long, beautiful journey before Healing Touch. And I took a class at Madison on energy psychology, and that's actually where I first learned about a pendulum and how to use energy to help deal with stress. And then I took a class on chakras. And in the chakra class, they talked about colors and the different chakras. And so I would, if I felt the chakra was out of balance, I would wear certain colors. So I randomly ran into a friend of mine on the streets of New York on a corner. The last time I'd seen her was in New Zealand, so that's why it's so random. And she remembered, and she goes, "Sarah, what color are you wearing today?" And so, because I must have talked about wearing certain colors of underwear to correspond to my chakras, which might be more than you wanted to know. But anyway, so for instance, if we wanted to energize, I'm just going to say the solar plexus chakra, which has to do with our sense of personal power, identity, energy, peace, radiance, joy, then the note that corresponds with that is E. And the gemstones that would correspond with that would be amber, citrine, tiger's eye, topaz, yellow, sapphire. And then the aromas would be like bergamot, carnation, lavender, rosemary. The interesting thing is the parts of your body that the glands associated, if that chakra is out of balance, would be the ones that have to do with liver, digestive system, stomach, spleen, gallbladder. So when you think about it, when people don't feel a lot of power or they feel out of control, what do they have issues with? You know, their stomach, their digestion. So isn't it interesting how it corresponds? And then the affirmation that you would say with it is, I accept myself completely, or I am full of radiant light and energy. My personal power is growing stronger every day. And the color that goes with the solar plexus chakra is yellow. So foods that are yellow, like banana, corn, things like that. So that's just a little bit. I don't have a lot more information than that because I tend to go to the resources because I haven't had specific training on gemstones.
Yeah.
I have had some on essential oils, but not in the comparison of how it associates with the frequency. Does that make sense?
Well, what I love is it all kind of comes together, right? So there's a lot of things like, you know, like essential oils, people are interested, healing touch, people are interested, but it all really comes together. And so it's a neat kind of connection.
Well, and when you try an acupuncture, which I know you had somebody talk about, and even Qigong, Chinese medicine, and then even reflexology and massage therapy, all of them have these points where they cross and intersect. And it's so beautiful because, again, it's really about allowing our body to heal and become whole with all the things that are naturally around us. These aren't things that you have to go buy.
Beautifully said. So is there anything else you wanted to talk about with Healing Touch before we get to the end here?
I know the time goes so fast.
It does.
Let me just scan my brain quick. I mean, I could talk about Healing Touch forever because I just think it's a beautiful modality and therapy for all of us to help with our own healing. So let me just think. I think just that idea again, that we have the ability and the gift within our own body to heal ourselves, and really finding the connections to help us develop those so that we can do that healing. And then also, I guess I would just like to finish with that heart math breathing. Could we do that?
Sure.
Okay. So again, that idea that our energy and our frequency affects the people around us just as theirs affects us. And so really creating a healthier, happier world. This heart math coherence breathing takes, like, again, 1 minute. So I'll do it and then you can close it however you want, Amy. How's that?
Sounds great.
So if again, you just want to find a quiet place, and with this, you can close your eyes or not. It doesn't matter. If you don't close them, just kind of close them lightly and you can look at the floor or something off in the distance. And then just take a few breaths in and out. And as you do that, allow each breath to become deeper and slower and fuller. And now shift your mind to focus on your heart center in the middle of your chest. And visualize breathing in and out through your chest. And as you do that, bring in an image of something or someone that brings you joy, love, or appreciation. And breathe into that emotion of joy, love, or appreciation. Keeping that image in your mind and that emotion. And breathing that in and out through your heart center. And then just take one last breath. And then remind yourself that you can always go back to this whenever you need to. And then you can slowly open your eyes.
I love it. Thank you for sharing that. You are just a wealth of information. Every time I talk with you, I'm like, oh, I just love being around you. And you have so much amazing information to share. So thank you so much for being with us today. And I hope you'll come back in the future. I know there's a million more things we could talk about.
Are. And I just want to say thank you for taking the risk and being out there and sharing your beautiful light and interviewing all these wonderful people and spreading that message of health and healing. So thank you.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you so much for listening to Nourish and Shine. I hope that you enjoy this episode and that you'll leave me a review on iTunes so that more people can hear the podcast. I'd also love to connect with you on social media. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I would love to hear your questions, so please send them my way. Also, you can check out my website. It's amysopola.com. I hope that today's interview provided you with some inspiration and practical advice to nourish your mind, body, and spirit, optimize your health, and to live a whole, vibrant life. Please join me again next week for another amazing interview. Have a wonderful week. The information provided on this podcast is for educational purposes only. It's not intended to diagnose or treat any disease or condition. Please do not apply any of this information without first speaking with your medical provider.